Hey, this episode is brought to you by Bob's Containers. Bob's Containers is the leader in shipping container housing, modular solutions, and more. It's a no-brainer with Bob's Containers. Turn your backyard into a profitable machine with a quick Airbnb, a backyard office, or something more. We also make shipping container offices, container restrooms, laboratories, anything you can dream of. We'll containerize a solution for you. So check us out at bobscontainers.com or give us a call, 833-265-3269. Thanks.
This episode is brought to you by Vineyard Sun. Vineyard Sun is a local Austin company that makes quality sunglasses made from sustainable materials. You can see their styles on vineyardsun.com or follow them on Instagram at vineyard_sun.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Moon Tower Business Podcast. This is your host, Joseph Obel, and today I'm speaking to Clint Padgett, who is the CEO and president of Project Success, Inc. Clint, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Yes, sir. Thanks for being here. Before we get started, maybe you could just kind of introduce yourself to listeners and talk a little bit about the stuff you worked on prior to launching Project Success.
Yeah, sure. So small town boy from South Carolina, right out of high school, joined the Navy, spent 6 years in the Navy on an aircraft carrier as an electrician. Then I went to work in a shipyard, and probably no greater motivation to go to college in the world than to work in a shipyard in Norfolk, Virginia in December and January, which is exactly what I was doing. So after 2 months of that, I thought, you know, there's got to be something better to do in my life than this. So I got out. I was lucky enough to get into Georgia Tech. I have a double E degree from Georgia Tech, MBA from Duke University as well. Started my career at Coca-Cola, spent about 6.5 years at the Coca-Cola company in the engineering group, and then joined Project Success back in 2004. So 30 years later, still doing it. And we are a small boutique company who specializes in training and actually helping mentor people doing project work.
Excellent. So when was it? What year was it that you got started with Project Success?
So I didn't found the company. It was founded in 1983. So it's 40 years old. And then I joined in 1994. So the first 11 years, I was just the employee, just another employee. But then in 2005, I actually bought the company from the owners as they were getting ready to get out. So I've been there 30 years.
Gotcha. Can you talk a little bit more about the kind of the services you provide for project management for different companies?
Sure. So we basically do two things. We teach classes. We have a 2-day course in project management that we teach, which is our kind of our bell cow. And we've taught that class over 40,000 times. To over 40,000 students in the last 40 years. And then, but I think what makes us a little bit unique is after the training, we actually can come help you implement what we just learned in the classroom in your environment with your unique set of challenges. So we do all the Olympic planning for the FIFA World Cup planning for Coca-Cola, any kind of global event, we help them plan. We've done some large construction projects in New York City's Times Square. Been the owners up on those projects. We do Silicon Valley projects for semiconductor companies. We do a lot of work for heavy manufacturing companies as well. So basically we teach, and then we actually come help you do it at your site and work ourselves out of a job. We leave when you're fully self-sufficient.
Gotcha. And so, it sounds like you work with a variety of different types of companies, different industries. What kind of are some of the problems, the typical problems you see that companies struggle with project management? And I'm an attorney in the construction space, so maybe you can give an example of something in construction.
Yeah. So when I think of attorneys in construction, then I also always think about forensic analysis of project work after it's done. Basically, everybody points at each other and goes, well, it's your fault. You got to pay this. And so, there is that aspect of it. It's not something I enjoy is the forensic piece, but just all kind of projects. So it really doesn't matter. The nice thing about our techniques and our processes are they work no matter in space we're in or the nice thing is you don't have to learn one set of techniques that only work in IT and a different set that only work in construction. You learn one set of skills you can bring to bear really on any kind of project at all, which is helpful.
Gotcha. And you're in Atlanta. Is that where the company's based?
Yeah, we're based out of Atlanta, but we have our people are spread all across the country. We don't really care where you live if you work for us, as long as you're willing to get on a plane and go where the work is.
Gotcha. Well, can you talk a little bit more about the kind of the industries that you work with and maybe some examples of some of the clients that you currently have?
Sure. So not every client I can say the name of, because unfortunately, the bigger they are, the more they like their name protected. But I will say that we have a number of Fortune 500 companies, in fact, probably a number of Fortune 50 companies in the software industry, as well as heavy manufacturing. Think about bulldozers, and things like that. In the semiconductor space as well, we do a lot of work for some of the semiconductor companies, helping bring their chips to market faster with the right level of quality. So, you know, some of those projects have been really, really eye-opening for me, because as an engineer, I like data. And we've been able to prove on some of those clients that by using these techniques, they're actually able to reduce their cycle time, bring it to market faster. But not only that, maybe even more importantly, be able to predict whether or not they could hit their customer deadline or not. You know, and sometimes you get the customer deadline that's kind of aggressive, and everybody waves their hand at it and goes, yeah, we'll work hard, we'll get there. But then through our process, we're able to say really within the first couple of weeks, no, you're not going to get there, and you should not even take this project on. I like to say that sometimes the most successful project is the one you don't do, right? The one you kill early. So those are the kind of spaces we work in. And really, it doesn't matter for us what vertical it is. We do things in communication space. We do a lot of work in the past with Comcast, Xfinity, Charter. I teach at Georgia Tech in the exec ed program as well. And maybe five or six times a year, somebody will come through and I just have anywhere from 2 hours to 4 days of their time to go through all their stuff, but help them get better at project work. So, you know, really we do pretty much anything.
How's that experience been for you as teaching a class at Georgia Tech?
Well, obviously this is my alma mater. It's always fun, you know, to be back on campus. And I like to joke that I don't have PhD after my name, but they bring me back because I know how to do it, right? So as an adjunct professor, it just means you have experience. You have the gray hair that shows you know what you're doing. And I really enjoy it. It's, again, I'm not teaching the students like I was. I'm teaching the exec ed program. So you typically have more seasoned individuals in those sessions that are coming through, and they'll be there for a week or 2 weeks. And I'm just, like I said, anywhere from a couple of hours to a brief overview of something I like to call the shift in the worry curve and why that's important, all the way up to, for some clients, we're there for 4 days and teach really intensively. But I like when after the classes are over, almost always somebody will post something and tag me on LinkedIn. And it's always nice when they do that, because it's like, okay, well, they really got something out of the course that they're actually calling, you know, me out of all the people that were involved. So
very good. Very good. And what kind of feedback are you getting from your clients, from the curriculum that you're providing them, and then the assistance, the project management?
I think it's from the teaching aspect, it's the real world stories that I bring to bear, because I don't just teach. I actually work on projects every day. I'm heavily involved right now in three different innovation projects for different clients. And so when I'm teaching the classes, I'm telling stories to reinforce the key points that are not theoretical and that I read in a book. I actually live them. And that way I can have really deep discussion about something. If there's somebody in the class who disagrees, we can pause and we can have a deep conversation about it, because I know my stuff inside and out, and I want to understand that person's perspective, because just because it's different than mine doesn't mean I'm right and they're wrong, or vice versa. It just means it's different. Sometimes I find we're saying the same thing, we're just using different words. And other times we do have a different opinion of things. And what I tell them is, in my world, the way that I'm doing it works really, really well. And if maybe in your world, in your environment, you have to do it the way you're doing it. And I'm just telling you that from a best practice perspective, that may not be the best practice, and maybe a better way. And sometimes they come around, and sometimes they dig their heels in, and okay, but that's why I'm there, is to tell my stories and to give you my feedback from my real life experience. Otherwise, I'm just teaching out of a book, which I'm not doing. I'm actually delivering a methodology that I eat, sleep, and breathe, that I've seen work as an employee at a company for 5 or 6 years, and then at my own company now for 30 plus years. So those are the kind of things I think from a student perspective. And then from the client perspective, they like the fact that they can teach a common methodology to their people, and then have us come in after that and actually do it in their space with their unique set of challenges, using their terminology on that project that belongs to them. It's not a case study. It is their project. Hey, we can take all the things that we taught them in those first couple of days and say, all right, now we're going to do it on your project with your unique set of challenges and your environment. And I think one of the most complimentary things for me, one of the most pleasing things, is the person in the first 2 days who is the whole 2 days, this isn't going to work here, they're the naysayer, that's never going to work, this is the real world. And at the end of the 3-day planning session, because that's usually a week long, at the end of the week, they go, we should do this on all of our projects. So you really have converted them. And that's when you feel really good, when you go home at night And I think that's the value the client sees, is that not only do you teach in the process, it's repeatable, and that we work ourselves out of a job that they could actually do on their own at some point, but we convert the naysayers into believers while we're there.
Love it. Love it. And so you spent several years at Coca-Cola in engineering. What kind of lessons do you think you drew from that experience at Coca-Cola to your role here at Project Success and helping companies?
Well, you know, the painful lessons are the ones that stick with you the most, right? It's funny. You don't seem to remember your victories as much as you remember your failures. But I remember early on in my career, we had a project. I actually talk about this in my second book. We had a project that went so badly that at the end of the project, the engineering manager got forced to retire. We said, we got to get better at doing projects. And it's actually how I came to know about this company called Project Success, because I took their course as a Coke employee to get better at doing projects. And we saw great results by using these techniques, and we got much, much better at it. So I would say learning that failure can be painful, both financially because of the expense involved with a failed project, but also emotionally to that one person who was basically said, you need to leave. And then as far as other lessons that I've learned along the way, it's just every time that I deviate from the process, I feel the pain, and it ends up not going as well as it could have gone. And so I've learned early on, you bring me in for a reason, right? You bring us in for a reason to teach this process, and this process will work. And if we deviate, it might work, but I don't know. But if we do it this way, it will work. And once you have that sense of belief, people will eventually just say, all right, let's just do it this way. And then they become converts, and they see that it does work for them as well.
Gotcha. And you said you're an author. You have a couple books. Can you talk about those?
Sure. I wrote my first book back in 2009, and it's called The Project Success Method. It basically teaches the nuts and bolts of how to plan a project, how to get the people together to agree on what the project is, what we call the charter document. And then make sure that aligns with the customer. And then how do you build a network diagram? How do you build a project plan that's believable and actionable in a collaborative way so that, and I'll tell you a quick anecdote. I'm sure that everybody in the room has probably known a project manager where when they said, we're going to do project management, you wanted to run from the room screaming. And that's because in that world, when somebody says we're going to do project management, what that means is, Fred is going to go sit in the corner by himself and build the project plan to save the team the time. And he'll assign the people he thinks should do the task, and he'll make up the numbers for the durations, and then he'll assign it to me. And the problem with that is he didn't ask my input. And so he assigned activities to me that don't belong to me. They belong to somebody else. He apparently used a random number generator for the durations because they're not based in reality at all. And then somehow I'm going to be held accountable for this, and he's going to tell my boss I'm not doing my job right. And that's just the absolute wrong way to do projects. So in that first book, I try to walk you through the different steps and how do you plan and control projects in a dynamic universe that we all live in. And over my career, I found that while I teach the same process, the same methodology, I did find a lot of the questions came up more and more about the people side of project management. How do I manage the people? So you have process and you have people. And I think while they're equally important, you have to do them both well. I do find that individuals have a harder time managing the people side of project management. So the second book was called How Teams Triumph. It came out on Forbes Books a couple of years ago. It actually hit number one bestseller on the Amazon list in one category, at least for a couple of days. And that one is more about how do you manage the people side of projects. So both books are about project management. One more on the nuts and bolts, technical stuff, and then more of the softer skills in the second book.
Gotcha. And then you also host a podcast. Can you talk about that? What kind of content do you discuss or guests that you have on?
Yeah, sure. So the podcast is called The Conversation with Clint Padgett. And it basically is, I try to interview three types of people. One is authors that have written books. Let me take a step back. And why do I name The Conversation? I opened the podcast with a quote by George Bernard Shaw, or at least it's been attributed to him, that says, the single biggest problem with communication is the illusion that it has taken place. And I find that in project work, that's one of the challenges is people think they've communicated, but they really haven't. And so I said, all right, I want to fix this problem. So I want to interview three types of people for the podcast. One is authors who've written books about conversation, because I do believe strongly that one of the secret sauces to getting stuff done in the real world in project work is have conversations and avoid this temptation of wanting to do one-off, emails or just post something on Slack or Jira. And I think the reason as human beings we want to do that is because I want to get it off my to-do list. And the way that I can make sure that gets off my list is if I send you an email saying it's done and I hope I never hear from you again, right? That's what I really hope. But if I actually run into you in the hallway or pick up the phone and call you, heaven forbid, and say, hey, here's what I did, you might say, that's not what I wanted. And then I got to go back and do more work. And I don't want that, right? So I believe conversation really is the key to getting a lot of work done in projects. So anybody who writes a book, around teamwork or collaboration or communication, conversation, I want to bring them onto the show. And then the second group I talk about are academics, maybe who are doing research around those topics. Teamwork, how do you collaborate? What are some proven processes? And the third is really people who do it in the everyday industry. So key leaders in different industries that are doing project work. So I try to bring those three types of people onto the show.
Excellent. How often do you have episodes?
They come out twice a month. So I think usually sometimes it's 2 weeks in a row, sometimes it's a week in between, but it's twice a month. And it's hosted by Forbes Books Radio.
Excellent. Well, before we wrap up here, is there anything else you'd like to share with listeners about project success and your podcast? And then also, what's the best way for people to learn more about what you're working on online and how can they buy your books?
Sure. So there's a lot there. Basically, Project Success is a company that will help you plan and execute your projects, and we'd love to help you do that. But you can reach us at projectsuccess.com. You can buy the books on Amazon, or you can reach out to us directly at Project Success. And then, of course, you can also find me on LinkedIn at Clint Padgett.
Good deal. Well, Clint, I'll put that information in the show notes for listeners to find out more about you. I appreciate your time today, and thank you so much for being on the podcast.
No, it was a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
This episode is brought to you by Vineyard Sun. Vineyard Sun is a local Austin company that makes quality sunglasses made from sustainable materials. You can see their styles on vineyardsun.com or follow them on Instagram at vineyard_sun.